Welcome to Zichru Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're in Sechus Psachim, Daf Lamed Vav. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in a Braisa that one might have thought that one can fulfill his chiyuv of eating matzah with matzah made from Meiser Sheni, provided that he eats it in Yerushalayim. Talmud Lomar Lechem Oni. Mash Ne'achol Ba'aninus. The Torah states the bread of Oni. This teaches that matzah must be something that may be eaten in a state of Aninus, which excludes Meiser Sheni, which is eaten in Simcha. These are the words of Rabbi Yossi Agli. Rabbi Kiva says, matzos, matzos, riba. The Torah states matzos and then repeats matzos to include matzah made of Meiser Sheni. He learns that lechem oni is coming to exclude isa sheni lushim b'yayim shem and dvash, dough that is kneaded with wine, oil, or honey. These add a richness to the dough so they can no longer be classified as poor man's bread. Rabbi Kiva expounds from the written form of ani, whereas Rabbi Yossi Agli expounds from the pronunciation oni. Rabbi Kiva says that expanding the pronunciation of oni can be explained by Shmuel, who said, lechem oni, lechem shel oni malav dvarim harbe. The Torah calls it the bread of oni because it's bread upon which you declare oni many things, referring to Sipur Yetzias Yisrayim. Point number two is Tatna writes that it might have been thought that one can fulfill his chiyuv for matzah on Pesach with Bikurim. Talmud Lomar b'kol meshvosechem tochu matzos. The Torah states, in all your dwellings you shall eat matzahs, which teaches that only matzah that can be eaten in all your dwellings may be used, excluding Bikurim, which cannot be eaten except in Yerushalayim. These are the words of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Kiva provided a different source, but eventually retracted his position. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Yossi Aglili needed to derive the exclusion of Bikurim from this pasuk, when he could have derived it from the previous Rasha from Lechem Oni, that only something that can be eaten in a state of Aninus may be used for matzah, excluding the matzah made from Bikurim, which may only be eaten in a state of joy. The Gemara answered that Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds a Rabbi Shimon, who permits Bikurim to be eaten in a state of Aninus. And point number three, was taught in a Braisa, lechem oni prat lechot v'la'ashisha. The Torah states that matzah must resemble a poor man's bread. This excludes scalded bread and ashisha. Rashi explains that scalded bread is prepared in an elegant manner with very fine flour, and ashisha is an oversized loaf, which the Meiri says is ordinarily baked only for important company. The Braisa continues that one might have thought that one only fulfills chiyuv with pas hadra, coarse bread. Therefore, the Torah repeats the word matzos, v'afil k'matzos shel shlomo, and even matzos like those of Shlomo HaMelech may be used. So once again, the three points are, number one, it was taught in a Braisa that one might have thought that one can fulfill his chiyuv of eating matzah with matzah made from Meiser Sheni, provided that he eats it in Yerushalayim. Talmud Lomar, lechem oni, mashen acho ba'aninus. The Torah states, the bread of oni. This teaches that matzah must be something that may be eaten in a state of aninus, which excludes Meiser Sheni, which is eaten in Simcha. These are the words of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Kiva says, matzos matzos riba. The Torah states, matzos, and then repeats matzos to include matzah made of Meiser Sheni. He learns that lechem oni is coming to exclude isa shinilusha b'yayim v'shem advash, dough that is kneaded with wine, oil, or honey. These add a richness to the dough so they can no longer be classified as a poor man's bread. Rabbi Kiva expounds from the written form of ani, whereas Rabbi Yossi Aglili expounds from the pronunciation oni. Rabbi Kiva says that expounding the pronunciation of oni can be explained by Shmuel, who said, lechem oni, lechem shel oni malav dvarim harbe. The Torah calls it the bread of oni because it's bread upon which we declare onin many things, referring to Sipur Yetzias Yisrayim. Point number two, was taught in a Braisa that it might have been thought that one can fulfill his chiyuv for matzah on Pesach with Bikurim. Talmud Lomar, b'kol meshvosechem tochu matzos. The Torah states, in all your dwellings you shall eat matzos, which teaches that only matzah that can be eaten in all your dwellings may be used, excluding Bikurim, which cannot be eaten except in Yerushalayim. These are the words of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Kiva provided a different source, but eventually retracted his position. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Yossi Aglili needed to derive the exclusion of Bikurim from this pasuk, when he could have derived it from his previous drushim from Lechem Oni, that only something that can be eaten in a state of aninus may be used for matzah, excluding the matzah made from Bikurim, which may only be eaten in a state of joy. The Gemara answered that Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds a Rabbi Shimon who permits Bikurim to be eaten in a state of aninus. And point number three was taught in a Braisa, lechem oni prat lechot v'la'ashisha. The Torah states that matzah must resemble a poor man's bread. This excludes scalded bread and ashisha. Rashi explains that scalded bread is prepared in an elegant manner with very fine flour, and ashisha is an oversized loaf, which the Miri says is ordinarily baked only for important company. The Braisa continues that one might have thought that one only fulfills his chiyuv with pas hadra, coarse bread. Therefore, the Torah repeats the word matzos, afil k'matzos shel shlomo, and even matzos like those of Shlomo Melech may be used. All right, so now we go to our simon for Daf Lamed Vav, and our standard simon is a lulav, a lulav. So here goes. The poor kohen who lived in a house made of lulavim ate his lechem oni matzahs ba'aninus. After checking the box to make sure they weren't made from bikurim, or as fine flour chalut and oversized ashisha. Once again, in slow motion. The poor kohen who lived in a house made of lulavim, that must mean one Daf Lamed Vav. The poor Kohen who lived in a house made of lulavim ate his lechem oni matzahs ba'aninas, which reminds us we have different drushes from the words lechem oni. Rav Yossi Aglili expounds the words lechem oni to teach that matzah must be made from something that can be eaten ba'aninas, which excludes making matzah from maaser sheni, which cannot be eaten ba'aninas. He focuses on the pronunciation lechem oni. Rav Akiva learns that lechem oni means matzah must be poor man's bread, which excludes making it from dough mixed with wine, oil, or honey. He focuses on the written form, ani, and says from the pronunciation of oni, we can learn like Shmuel, it says, lechem oni, lechem she'oni molav dvarim harbe. The Torah calls it the bread of oni because it's bread upon which we declare oni many things, referring to Sipur Yetzias Yisrael. So the poor Kohen who lived in a house made of hulavim ate his lechem oni matzahs ba'aninas. After checking the box and make sure they weren't made from bikurim, which reminds us that Rabbi Yossi Gluli learned that matzah cannot be made from bikurim because the Torah states, b'kol moshvosechem tochu matzahs. In all your dwellings you shall eat matzahs, which teaches that only matzah that can be eaten in all your dwellings may be used, excluding bikurim, which cannot be eaten except in Yerushalayim. So the poor Kohen who lived in a house made of lulavim ate his lechem oni matzahs ba'aninas. After checking the box to make sure they weren't made from bikurim, or as fine flour chalut and oversized ashisha. Which reminds us that it was taught in the Braisa when the Torah states a matzah resemble a poor man's bread, it excludes chalut, which is scalded bread, and ashisha. Rashi explains that scalded bread is prepared in an elegant manner with very fine flour, and ashisha is an oversized loaf, which the Miri says is ordinarily baked only for important company. So once again, the poor Kohen who lived in a house made of lulavim ate his lechem oni matzahs ba'aninas. After checking the box to make sure they weren't made from bikurim or as fine flour chalut and oversized ashisha. All right, now it's time to go to our four blah back chazara. Daf Lamed Beis. So the Simur Daf Lamed Beis is a mad scientist in his lab. So here goes. The mad scientist in his lab. Mad scientist in his lab? That must mean we're on Daf Lamed Beis. The mad scientist in his lab, who was told he must pay for truma he ate according to value and not volume, which reminds the Gemara asks what the halacha is in general when one consumes truma b'shogeg, where one repays, lafi mida misham or lafi dami misham. Does one pay according to the volume of what he ate, or does he repay according to the price? And the Gemara clarifies that the question is only when the value of the produce increased. Do we say he pays according to the measure, even though the value went up, or perhaps if he ate a zoo's worth of truma, that's all that he has to pay, regardless of its volume. So the mad scientist in his lab, who was told he must pay for truma he ate according to the value and not volume, was trying to turn a zoo's worth of figs into a zoo's worth of dates to get a bracha, which reminds us that the Braisa that stated, Achal grogros v'shilomom tamarim, tabalo ala bracha, if one ate b'shogeg dried figs of truma and repaid the kohen with dates, may a bracha come upon him because he acted righteously, is not a proof that he pays according to volume. Abai said that in fact he's repaying according to value, and the reason he should receive a bracha is because he ate something that buyers don't run after and yet repaid with something that buyers do run after. So the mad scientist in his lab, who was told he must pay for truma he ate according to value and not volume, was trying to turn a zoo's worth of figs into a zoo's worth of dates to get a bracha, and experimenting to see if he could make a kazais worth less than a sheva pruta. Which reminds us that it's a machlokes tanakam and Rabbi Shaul whether the minimum amount of truma that one must eat to require paying back the karen and the chomish is a kazais because it says achila in the pasuk, or a sheva pruta because he says venasin and he gave, and an asina isn't less than a sheva pruta. Daf Lamed Gimel. So the simmer Daf Lamed Gimel is a peg leg pirate. A peg leg pirate. So here goes. The peg-leg pirate, that must be on Daf Lamed Gimel. The peg-leg pirate, whose crew died by the hands of heaven for transgressing Me'ilah, which reminds us that three reasons were given why Me'ilah, which is Misa B'dei Shemayim, is more severe than Isseri Koris. It is more severe than Isseri Koris, not because of the punishment of Misa B'dei Shemayim, but because one would be punished even for eating less than a kazayis of Hekdesh, or it even applies Be'ein Meskavim when a person does not have Kavana to use that particular item, such as when a person tries to warm himself with the wool shearing of chulin, but inadvertently warms himself with the wool shearing of a carbon. And the third reason is he's chayv even if he does it in a misasik manner, such as reaching for something and inadvertently anointing his hand with oil of hektish. So the peg-leg pirate, whose crew died by the hands of heaven for transgressing Me'ilah, and who discovered that the truma he separated from chametz on Pesach had no kedusha, which reminds us, if during Pesach one separated produce for truma from something that was already chametz, I'll agree that it has no kedusha. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak brought the pasuk regarding truma that stays titan lo, you shall give it to him, meaning to the kohen, v'lo le'uro, but not to his fire. This teaches that produce can become truma only if it's fit for the kohen to eat. If it can only be used for burning, then it can't acquire the kedusha of truma. Rav Huna Bar Rav Yeshua learns from the fact that truma is referred to as reishis, the first of your gathered grain, which implies that after truma is taken, its remains must be distinguishable to Yisrael, meaning that it must become permitted to a Yisrael. Where the produce remains forbidden for consumption, that which was separated does not take on the kedusha of truma. So the peg-leg pirate, whose crew died by the hands of heaven for transgressing Me'ilah, and who discovered that the trumi separated from Chametz on Pesach had no Kedusha, spent his time alone in the ship trying to figure out how to get Tahor juice out of Tamei grapes. Which reminds us, it was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that in the case of grapes that became Tamei, one presses less than a kabeah of them at a time, and their wine is valid for a libation offering, since food less than a kabeah cannot generate tumah. This indicates Rabbi Yochanan holds that the juice within the grape is not absorbed, but rather contained by it, like a liquid that fills a container. Rabbi Chisda disagrees and holds that the juice is Tamei, indicating that the juice is absorbed in the grape. And when the grape becomes Tamei, so does the juice. Daf Lamed Daled. So the Simur Daf Lamed Daled is a ladder, a ladder. The detective who climbed the ladder, that must mean we're on Daf Lamed Daled. The detective who climbed the ladder to investigate the case of the replanted Tamei Truma spotted a suspicious Yisrael walk away, which reminds us that the Daf deals primarily with Rabbi Bar Masna's question on Trumos, where it says in the Mishnah, Shesile Trumos Shenitmu Ushasalan, Trumi plants became Tamei and then were replanted, Tahorim Melatamei, Ba'asurin Melechol. They are tower with regard to being matame other things, but they're prohibited to eat. He asks that if they're tower with regard to being matame other things, why are they prohibited for a Kohen to eat? Abaya bar Avin and Chananya bar Avin's answer that it was forbidding the truma to non-Kohanim, since it was decreed to prevent non-Kohanim from depriving Kohanim of their truma by converting it into chun through replanting, was challenged by Rabbi bar Masna, who said that it was taught already in a different Mishnah. So the detective who climbed the ladder to investigate the case of the replanted Tamei Truma spotted a suspicious Yisrael walk away, while Cohen, who was supposed to be guarding his Truma, which reminds that the second answer given was that the Mishnah actually meant it was prohibited for the Kohanim to eat since they became invalid through Hesach Hadas, inattention. The Pasuk states regarding Truma Mishmeres Truma Sai, which means that the Kohanim have been given the responsibility to safeguard Truma and Kachim as well from becoming Tamei. And this requires one not to allow his attention to lapse from this guarding. Since these plants became Tamei, it can be assumed that the Kohen stopped guarding them against further exposure to Tuma, and therefore they became rendered invalid. Therefore, even though the Tuma is removed through the replanting, they remain invalid to eat. We have a Malchokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether Hesach Hadas is a Psul Tuma, a Psul caused by the possibility of Tuma, or a Psul HaGuf, a Psul of the Truma itself. So the detective who climbed the ladder to investigate the case of the replanted Tamei Truma spotted a suspicious Yisrael walk away, while Cohen, who was supposed to be guarding his Truma, was distracted watching the Tamei Mehal Chag being placed in the mikveh. Which reminds us that Rabbi Yirmi rejected the above answer and explained that water for the Chag that became Tamei only becomes Tahor if Hishikun V'Archokach Hikdishan, when first brought into contact with the mikveh and only afterwards was Makdishan. The water being brought into contact with the water is a form of planting which removes its Tumah status. Yet, the Rabbanim were stringent and said that it is not effective for water of Kachim. So here too, regarding plants of Truma, we should say that Ein Zriya L'Truma, planting the ground is not effective in removing the Tumah of Truma, since Rabban imposed a greater stringency on Truma. Daf Lamed Hey. So the Simur Daf Lamed Hey is a children's choir singing La La La. The children's choir, that must be more on Daf Lamed Hey, La La La. The children's choir sing the catchy We Can't Be Matzah song were dressed up in their rice and milk costumes, which reminds us that Rabbi Shimon Lakish said that the source that oris and dochen, rice and milk, cannot be used for matzah comes with the juxtaposition of the psukim Losochalav chametz, you shall not eat chametz with it, referring to the Garden Pesach, and Shivas Yamin Tochalav matzos, for 7 days you shall eat matzahs with it. From this juxtaposition we learn Dvarim Abong De Chimutz Adam Yotz Behen Yedecho Basaba Matzah. It is only with things that come to leaven when left to rise that a person fulfills his obligation to eat matzah. Yadzu Eilu She'im Bang Yedei Chimutz El Yedei Sirchon. Excluded are these types of flours of oris and dochen, rice and millet, which do not come to leaven, but come to spoil. So the children's choir singing the catchy We Can't Be Matzah song were dressed up in their rice and millet costumes and pouring wine, oil, and honey in some dough. Which reminds us, Rav Idi Bar Avin explained that Reish Lakish's reason for saying that one is not chayiv karis for eating dough that was kneaded with wine, oil, honey instead of water in its leavened form was mishum dahavi le meperos, meperos ein machmitzin. It's because these liquids are fruit juices, and juices of fruits cannot cause a dough to leaven. Fruit juices here refers to natural juices. So the children's choir singing the catchy We Can't Be Matzah song were dressed up in their rice and milk costumes and pouring wine, oil, and honey in some dough, while the kid holding the bucket of partially fixed tevel sang the solo. Which reminds us, we learned in a brisa that grain whose restriction comes exclusively on account of the prohibition of eating chametz can create matzah, which excludes grain of tevel that is excluded not on account of the prohibition of chametz, but because of the prohibition of do not eat tevel. When the Gemara asked, why is there no prohibition of chametz as well when eating tevel, Rav Sheshes answered that this brisa reflects the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who holds ein iser chal iser, a prohibition cannot take effect upon a pre-existing prohibition, meaning that it was already forbidden because of tevel before the possibility of it becoming forbidden because of chametz, and therefore it cannot become chametz. All right, now it's time to conclude with a pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos Shabbos and Erev. Number 1, which daf do we machlokes from Yochanan Reish Lakish whether hesach hadas is a psul tuma or a psul haguf? That's on daf Lamed Daled. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn if one ate a zoo's worth of figs of truma and repaid with a zoo's worth of dates, you should get a bracha because you repaid with something that people run after? That's on daf Lamed Beis. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn two different sources why truma that was separated from chametz on Pesach has no kedusha? That's on daf Lamed Gimel. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn that there's no karas for chametz that was made with wine, oil, or honey? That's on daf Lamed Hey. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we learn the source that a Baal Chob takes possession of the security in his possession is from the Pasuk Lechati Yatzdaka? That's on daf Lamed Aleph. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn that rice and millet cannot be used for matzah? That's on daf Lamed Hey. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we have different pshat than what we learn from the words Lechem Oni? That's on daf Lamed Vav. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we have malchus whether the juice in tamei grapes is tar because it's contained in the grape like a liquid in a container, or it's tamei because it's considered absorbed in the grape? That's on daf Lamed Gimel. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we learn matzah cannot be made from partially tied tevel? That's on daf Lamed Hey. Good. And number 10. Which daf do we learn that being the matzah must be poor man's bread, it can't be chalut or a shisha? That's on daf Lamed Vav. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which daf do we learn what one should do if a lechi is 4 amos wide? That's on daf Hey and Erevin. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that one should change clothes to suit the task which is learned from the Trumas Edeshan? That's on daf Kufya Dalet and Shabbos. Good. And number 3. Which daf do we learn what defines an Amma Aretz? That's on daf Mem Zayin and Brachos. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.